I do this for my culture, 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 culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me. Folks, we have been, want to switch gears because I'm seeing something brewing, that I think that you're going to be hearing more about. And it's going to bring us to go back to a conversation that I think is super important, which is this whole idea of freedom of speech, this conversation around social media platforms. And so tonight, I wanted to talk to you about the Facebook Oversight Board. Have you heard about this in President Trump? The Facebook Oversight Board. And President Trump. Apparently, they are going to be convening, and tomorrow morning at the 9 o'clock hour, they're going to decide the fate of President Trump's account. Now, they're going to announce that, like I said, tomorrow at 9. Why is this important? Because it's important. Because in this day and age, when we're talking about freedom of speech, it's a situation of whether social media platforms fall under that. Right now, when the founding fathers of this country drafted those documents, or they came up with that idea that you should protect the freedom of anybody that are within our borders, right? When the founding fathers did that, they didn't see social media. Many years coming down the road. They didn't see that happening. But now this situation will force us to even think about social media, to think about whether that is a part of the freedom of speech. So here's the situation. 4 months ago, or a little bit, yeah, about 4 months ago, it was the CEO of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, who said that President Trump was banned indefinitely from the platform. Now the Facebook Oversight Board, which is an outside group that's funded and created by Facebook to review the social media's policies, has made a decision on the case, and they're going to announce it. It's expected to be announced tomorrow. Wednesday, that's what they're saying. By Wednesday at around 9 o'clock a.m. This ruling on whether politicians in particular, but people in general, can say whatever they want to say on this public, quote unquote, private public platform is going to be something that's going to be watched by politicians and social media folks, and just a lot of different people are going to be chimed in to see what's going on. Now, you got to also remember, Facebook is the first major social media platform to suspend Trump indefinitely after the January 6th attack on the Capitol. And a lot of people were happy about it when it made that decision. Twitter also decided to it removed him. So this is just for Facebook. This is not for Twitter yet. Now, so considering that, since we're a couple of days in the state of Florida, did I tell y'all my gripe about Florida? I know I got some Floridians checking in, and people love to go to Florida, but I don't know if I would want to live in Florida where I don't know if I can do it. But anyway, apparently, the governor of Florida, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, he is likely to sign a bill into law that would prevent social media companies such as Facebook, Twitter, and Google's YouTube from deplatforming politicians such as former President Trump. Oh, let me also throw it in there. Florida is the home of Trump now. He's no longer a resident of New York City, New York State. He is the home. He is a resident of Palm Beach, Florida. So that is planning to happen as well. The bill was approved last week by the Republican-controlled state legislature down in Florida. It would order social media companies to publish standards with detailed definitions of when someone would be censored or blocked, and make companies subject to as much as a $250,000 daily fine for deplatforming a Florida candidate. Y'all hear me? The bill would also require a social media company to notify users within 7 days that they could be censored, giving them time to correct posts. This is some privilege if I ain't never hear nothing. This is some privilege. You want? This is privilege, folks. This is crazy. This is crazy. Now, the crazier part about this, folks, this is the crazier part, and we're going to open up the phone lines in a few moments. The crazier part about this is that all of the politicians that have been defending President Trump are the same politicians who were running for their lives on January the 6th. But they defended this man, and he has some magical, mystical power over some of the members of the Republican Party. But you're doing all this. Here's the thing. This is the kicker. You're doing all of this defending, trying to put stuff into law to protect. You're doing all of this knowing that that man was responsible for the insurrection on Capitol Hill. And it just goes to show you, I mean, look, I don't have, honestly, like, me from where I stand, I don't have that much skin in the game. But you knew that he was responsible. And yet, you still defend, you still protect him, you still vote in favor for him. I mean, you get up there and you say, you know he was responsible, but you can't penalize, you can't punish him. And now you want to come up with a bill that says that you cannot deplatform Florida politicians from a platform that you didn't even create. Let's keep this real, folks, and I want you to join me on the conversation, 410-319-8888. We cannot get upset about the rules of someone else's platform. We can't. Because that's someone else's platform. It's just that simple. As much as I'm a part of WEAA, at the same time, if I said some crazy stuff, if I violated the FCC laws, if I you know, became harsh in my speech, and the station got rid of me, I can't act as if I'm not on someone else's platform, the school's platform. I can't act as if I'm not there. Like, I have to respect the platform for what it is. Now, so that's one thing. But then the other thing is there have been a number of people who haven't even as gone as far as President Trump's hurtful speech, who have been, quote-unquote, deplatformed. Minister Farrakhan and other black folks and some white folks that have spoken truth to power and have felt and have been removed from those spaces. And it is what it is, but it just goes to show you that there is a great sense of hypocrisy that is present right now. But no one ever going back to President Trump, no one ever said, no one's really questioning, and this is the weakness that we're seeing, the fact that this man, you know this man is responsible. This man had you all running for your lives when his supporters came through those windows and those doors on the Capitol. And yet, you still defend and protect them. Man. Let's go to the phone line. 410-319-8888. What do you think about this coming decision? Should President Trump have his platform on Facebook reinstated? What are your take? What's your take on this new law that Governor DeSantis of Florida has signed and signed that would prevent social media companies from deplatforming politicians? What's your take on all of this? 410-319-8888. Let's go to Ahmed. Ahmed, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take?
Thank you very much, Faraji. And I think, first of all, the Facebook have the right to do whatever they wanted to do.
Oh, facts.
They do have that right, so no one can stop them from doing that. And their platform is not for creating, inciting violence or hate groups and so forth. So I agree with that. I don't agree with everything that Facebook does. But this, in this case, getting this guy, not giving this guy a platform to spread hate and violence should not happen. That's number one. Number two, DeSantis is slated to be running for the president against Biden next time. Okay, so this is a publicity stunt. He knows he's not going anywhere. Facebook is going to bring on its weight down to Florida, and it's going to sink the entire state of Florida. And suck up, that's what they're going to do. They don't have the money and the power and the capability and intelligence to compete with the lawyers that are coming from around the country, some of the best of the best, to compete with them. They're not going to do that. They're not. This is just a publicity. He's not going to do anything.
Which means DeSantis is not going to do anything?
He can't do it. There's nothing to be done.
Yeah.
A capable lawyer, a lawyer should not look at the case and say this. It should look at the case and say this is not something winnable. It should, They should know what's crazy and not. Like some of the crazy lawyers for the president Trump that went out to say that the election was stolen. You know what I mean? A lot of these things, some of the bar associations have been considering to ban them because this was just a frivolous stuff.
Let me ask you this, Ahmed, and I appreciate you on this. What do you see being the impact of this decision and even this talk about reinstating the president, the former president? What impact do you see this being on the First Amendment, on the freedom of speech?
The freedom of speech has limitations. We all know that.
Right.
So that is it. You know, that's it. You don't have the freedom of freedom to speak of speech when you are doing these things. But Faraji, let me say something to you. You referred them the founding fathers. I don't like that name generally. I don't call them. I like the founders of the United States. That's what I call them. They're not the founding fathers of this country. This country has been here longer before they ever came there. When white men.
That's true. That's true.
So I would never call them. The word father is so respectful and honorable that I wouldn't associate with these thugs with that.
All right. I hear you, Ahmed. I thank you so much for checking in.
I love you, brother.
I love you, too. I appreciate that. I really do. And, I love your insight, Ahmed, so it's always good to hear from you. We can go back to the phone lines, 410-319-8888, 410-319-8888. Folks, we're talking about President Trump, the big day of decision. One of the big decisions is that Facebook Oversight Board, this is the board that Facebook has created to look at some of its thornier policies. They're making a big decision about possibly reinstating President Trump onto their platform 4 months after he was taken off back on January the 21st. Question is, do you think he needs to be back on there, considering all that has happened, considering the whole idea of not censoring anyone? Again, Facebook is a private company. This is not a government entity. But do you think that people should still be allowed to say whatever they need to say? 410-319-8888. Michelle, thank you so much for checking in. What's your take on this, Michelle?
I actually think that they would be better off to reinstate him, to allow him to stay on there, not because I like Trump or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it could set a precedent moving forward, like how you mentioned that, what's his name, Louis Farrakhan, how he was removed.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're able to get Trump back on there, they can bring back everybody else that they shut out.
So that's what I'm seeing. That if they do that for one, then they have to do it for all, right?
Yeah, of course. I would think so.
But then the other part of it too, Michelle, is this law that the Florida governor is, you know, of deplatforming Florida, you know, politicians. I mean, I feel like this is a dangerous slope. It's setting a very dangerous precedent that and I don't know if he's going to be able to take it all the way through because this is a private company and not a government sector.
See, that's the part that I feel like I disagree with the general public's, assumption of that, only because Facebook receives so much money in government funding, federal funding, subsidies. What makes it that different from a government? I mean, if our tax dollars are going to it,
yeah,
why should it be treated as a private?
Well, that opens the conversation, Michelle.
Right.
That
so if we're paying for it, shouldn't everybody be allowed to use? I mean, regardless of whether I agree or disagree, I feel like it's really obvious what is like a direct violent threat towards another person or something really obscene. It should be easy to, censor the minimum amount that you can while still allowing, because if we censor, censorship, I feel like it starts with censoring the people that most people don't like President Trump, and then that creates a slope where then it's easy to just censor whoever you want to.
So that part I do agree, and I think you're absolutely right. We're walking the very fine line of determining, or rather dictating, who we want to listen to and who we don't want to listen to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Versus, I mean, again, going back to the freedom of speech thing, but I don't know, when I keep hearing stories about Facebook and Twitter and social media platforms, I'm like, when is someone going to actually come up with a policy that covers that part of our communications?
Right, especially now that we're forced to essentially only communicate online. Like, people aren't congregating like before. You know, you don't see people in real life. So where can you say what you need to say without worrying that it's going to be shut down or censored or whatever?
I don't have a problem you saying what you need to say because I feel like that's human nature. We need to communicate, which is why I think the freedom of speech is such a powerful thing.
Right.
But what I do have a problem is like, you know, when we saw what we saw on January the 6th, and when you heard the president, and this is not just about him, it's just about just creating the environment for mm-hmm. stuff like that to happen. It's like, so who is going to rein in those voices that's going to say, hey, we're going to go down to the Capitol, and we're going to greet them. That's what we're going to do. We're going to say hello to them.
Because there's always going to be crazy people doing crazy, horrible things, right? But if you kind of try to silence, like, big groups that might start a ruckus or whatever, that could lead into things where people are seeking genuine justice, like protests. Wasn't Florida the same place where he was trying to make, like, some kind of anti-protesting law?
Yep.
Okay, stuff like that. Well, again, I don't see how those two things can correlate, that he wants to bring Trump back but then not allow people to protest in the street or whatever. But regardless, what I'm saying is I feel like censoring or banning any of our freedoms, the right to peaceful protest, the right to gather, freedom of assembly, whatever, we're entering, like, a dangerous territory where silencing good voices and voices that need to be heard is going to get lumped in the mix. That's just what I think. And it might be under the guise of protecting us from these few creepy creatures like Trump and things that we have like that.
I agree. Excellent, excellent point. Michelle, it's always good to hear from you, and I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. I would love to talk to you some more, but thank you for checking in tonight. Folks, join me in the conversation, 410-319-8888. We're talking about the very thin line between freedom of speech and making sure that it doesn't get into hurtful speech that could lead to a national crisis. We're talking about the fact that on Wednesday morning, Facebook is scheduled to make a decision or announce their decision. I think the decision's already been made, but they're expected to announce the decision about reinstating former President Trump's Facebook account. And the president put out a statement today. You know, you put out a statement once you got word about this. But he said this in a statement just today. I mean, they're talking about, let's see if we should let this man back on our platform. His response this morning was, quote, "The fraudulent presidential election of 2020 will be from this day forth known as the big lie." I mean, he hasn't even dealt with the fact of where we are in this particular moment. We're 100 days into the Biden administration. There's so much stuff that has happened since he's left office. It feels like, you know, a lifetime ago almost in some cases. But you're still holding on to this thing about getting elected out of office and how much it's a big lie and it's a fraud and all of those things. And it's like, and so when you have that deal, that mentality, and then you want to, you know, you still got this major platform that is kind of determining what your communications future will be. What's to say that you won't go back into a space where you are telling people to gather? And I think, like Michelle said, it opens the door. It's like that very thin line, the very thin line of trying to walk that line of not imposing, not infringing upon someone's ability to communicate, to say what they need to say, but at the same time, not opening the door for a hurtful speech that could possibly lead to people getting hurt or even worse. Because as we take our final break, just walk with me on this one, folks. If the former president is allowed to get back onto Facebook and use this platform, now you're going to have to wonder, well, what will be said? What will be aroused? What will be generated in that talk, in that communication? And then I'm in agreement with Michelle. It may get to the point where these social media platforms will have to become quasi-governmental. Woo! Folks, y'all with me? Y'all listening to me? Can you imagine that? Because the United States government, the FBI, the CIA, will have a database of information from these social media platforms, right? And so they already been tapping into it for different purposes. But you imagine that they say, okay, we're going to let this man back on. And the government under President Biden might say, okay, under the condition that we take control to monitor the situation, to assess the situation, to track the communication. Woo! Now we just sliding down that slope now. We just sliding. Where our social media, I'm not gonna say ours because it's still the company, but where the social media platform becomes this governmental arm with greater regulations, right? With more control. Oh, my goodness. We got to take a final pause. When we come back, Margaret, I want to hear from you about this, ma'am. I need to hear from you. Folks, join me in a conversation. What do you foresee? I mean, I might be going too far into the Big Brother 1984 space, But these are very hyper-political, hyper-sensitive times that we're living in. What's stopping the United States government? What's stopping supporters within the government from going into this direction of using Facebook and social media platforms as a way to keep things monitored? 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Stay riding with us. It's For the Culture on WEAA. I do this for my culture, 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 culture. Peace and welcome back to For the Culture right here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me this evening. Folks, we've been talking about the fact that Facebook, according to their reports, that Facebook is in the process of, on Monday or Wednesday morning around the 9 o'clock hour, the Facebook Oversight Board is scheduled to announce their decision when it comes to reinstating President Trump back onto their platform. Now, just to give you a little brief overview of what the Facebook Oversight Board is doing, this is a group created by Facebook to which users can appeal important company decisions. It is funded by a $130 million trust that has been created by Facebook. The board says it is an independent and neutral third party. Okay. That's just okay. Okay. My critical thinking skills just kicked in. But its goal is to review moderation decisions made by the company and to decide whether they were made in accordance with Facebook's stated values. And so this is a board that was first mentioned by Mark Zuckerberg back in 2018. And it's a way for the company to handle difficult decisions outside of the structure of the company. I want to jump back to the phone line right now because I want to hear your take on this. As we're talking about, you know, the possibility of President Trump coming on, what about the possibility that because of who Trump is and the power and influence that Trump wields when it comes to certain portions of the population, do you think that the government will go as so far as to truly invest more sense of control, putting more, you know, accountability measures, putting more control measures into place to monitor President Trump, the chatter among his followers and supporters, and keep observing things to ensure that the chatter, the discussions that the president has had and the followers are having won't lead to another January 6th? Do you think the government will even go that far? 410-319-8888. Let's go to Margaret, and Thaddeus is checking in. Margaret, thank you for your patience. What's your take on this? Margaret? Okay.
Hi.
Oh, hey, Margaret. I'm glad we heard from you. Thank you so much for checking in.
Thank you, Faraji, for the ride. I just want to say that I think that the government regulates a lot of businesses and corporations. And while Facebook is a private entity, I think anything that incites riots, disruption, racial epithets, or whatever should be regulated to a degree as to not take away our freedom of speech, but to definitely not have it create all kinds of chaos among us.
Right.
So I think that they've already done that, voting down in Florida that you can't have crowds and you can't protest. And pretty soon, as a citizen of this country, we won't have any rights at all, and it'll be just like another communist country. So I think that the government should step in and really regulate all media platforms that allow that type of you know, violence and disruption and those kinds of things that will create uncivil rest.
So here's the so now, oh boy, Margaret, oh my goodness. Now you know what I gotta ask you.
So you
you are in favor of governmental intervention in media, and that possibly will open the door for quote unquote state media.
Well,
would you be in favor of that? At least it may not be state media in terms of NBC, ABC, but state sponsored social media.
Well, now that now, definitely. Well, I would say any media entity that allows disruption and those types of things, I think that they should all be regulated. The government regulates a lot of businesses and corporations anyway.
Yeah.
So media should not be any exception. It's a business like any other business. And if they definitely going to bring him back, then they need to allow Farrakhan to come back as well, because the brother has value points. He speaks on truth, and I listen to him. So, you know, I think that fair is fair, justice is justice. But is justice fair in this country, and has it ever been?
No, not when it comes to black and brown and in indigenous communities. No.
Then I rest my
no,
case. So then
no.
If they're going to bring him back, knowing that he already incited that situation September the 6th, then, you know, that's on them. And maybe, you know, the color of his skin will allow him to do it again. But
yeah.
I don't know. I think they need to be regulated.
They need to be regulated. Okay. Margaret, I appreciate you, dear sister.
I appreciate you, too.
Thank you
Thanks
so
for
much.
The ride.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Let's go to Thaddeus. Thaddeus, what's your take on this?
Hey, Faraji.
Good
evening. My take is that, like, I believe in freedom of speech, but with someone like Trump, you shouldn't have someone, as we know, that caused the problems that he caused. Had he not had his meeting on January, or supposedly rally on January 6th, there wouldn't have been 3,000 to 5,000 additional people there. So the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys, QAnon, whoever there were, most of the ones that went inside of the Capitol, it was about 300 to 500, maybe 400 to 500 of them. They had already calculated that there was like 5,000 Capitol Police there, and it wasn't even that many at that time. And as we know, a lot of them were corrupt because they're opening the doors for them. 29 of them got, I think, suspended right away, another 7 later on. But Trump knew by having his rally at that time, it wasn't something, from what I saw, that he was going to legally get them, go there, stop, have talked to their senators, and change the vote. When you have people coming there with zip ties and mace and things like that, they're planning not to do something legally. So if he really planned to do it legally, he wouldn't have had it on the 6th. He would have had his rally on, like, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th. He knew that the other people, the Oath Keeper, the Proud Boys, those racist people were coming there. So his people just made more of a cover. So when you have someone with that type of power, that about lack of intellect, and I think he does know what he's doing, so I can't say the intellect. He's stupid, but he's cunning. He already knew that in Minnesota they had tried to kidnap Governor Whitmer. And they were talking about, what, holding a child? They had no right, no power to do that, just like his people had no power to do what they did. So someone like him, positively, they should monitor. They're already monitoring us with, you know, our phones, right?
Right. I mean, that is true. That is true. Right. But now that, if you bring a voice back on, and like you just said, Thaddeus, we're coming. This is, if pre-January the 6th, it would have been one thing, right?
Right.
But now that we're at, May the 3rd, months after that situation, 4 months after that situation, it's like, you don't know. Like, you already knew the capability. You already knew what he could do.
Right.
And how his rhetoric can incite, right?
Right.
And so at this point, it's like there has to be. But if we're calling for a government, quote unquote, control government regulations, then we also have to look at it from the vantage point of where we all stand. Because for those of us who use social media and Facebook, their usage is absolutely insane, Thaddeus. 3.45 billion monthly users. They own the Facebook, they have the Instagram platform, and they own WhatsApp. So wow. those three platforms garner nearly 3.5 billion monthly users. That's a lot of people.
I'm going to interject this for Raji. Yeah, that is a lot of power. With TV, I don't know if you remember this because you're a little younger than me, but and you probably know it anyway. I think you're a smart young man, and the internet the numbers out there. Originally, you aren't supposed to even have a TV station that was supposed to have so much, up to, I think, 40% of the numbers, I think I remember. 45, when they tried to buy Sinclair and all those other stations,
right.
They were considered it was too much power,
right?
But they got around it because they said some of those stations were satellite stations that couldn't go as far the distance. Well, now they have the power to go further. So just like you said, that's a lot of people on Facebook, but someone like Trump, he has a lot of followers, and basically, in my opinion, it would be like saying, okay, someone attempted murder, and they didn't directly do it because, no, the Proud Boys didn't kill Governor Whitmer, and yet he knew that they had attempted. They're going to hold a trial. They have weapons. They practiced. And so this time at the Capitol, some people actually died. So in my opinion, it would be like you're letting someone that, number one, he's telling them to stand down and stand by. He supported people that basically attempted to kidnap and murder a governor of the United States.
Yeah.
He's supporting people that actually did cause people to get killed. So for the government to protect the country, I'm not saying to take over all the radio stations, TV stations, or the airways with Facebook. I'm not on Facebook, where I know many people are, family and friends. But, yeah, I don't want us to be like Russia, but if someone's committing a crime, and that's basically, in my opinion, what it was, committing a crime,
yeah,
if you're breaking the law. Right. And so and then you're going to say, okay, well, we'll let you do it again. In my mind, it would be like letting a criminal out that attempted to kill some people, and whether you say directly or indirectly, caused people to die. So in his case, I would think it would be the government just making sure that, yeah, you have freedom of speech, but you don't have the right to incite riots, cause people to get killed and injured.
Absolutely. I'm with you on that. I know, and Thaddeus, I appreciate you. I know that it's a very thin line that we have to consider. I mean, you don't want to get into the space of state-run social media.
Right.
But then at the same time, you let a man back on here that has that level of power that incites people the way he does to the point where they want to commit violence against political officials. They want to run up on people. They're doing all that type of stuff. It's like, what are we trying to do? Like, and my hope is with this Facebook and again, you know, Thaddeus, thank you so much, brother, with this Facebook oversight board, that I know all of these things are being considered, but you got to look at the implications of it. You got to think about the implications. And I wanted to share with you folks as we have this conversation, 410-319-8888. The people that make up this Facebook oversight board, 20 people from around the world, and they are experts in various areas, including journalism, misinformation, freedom of speech, and extremism. So these are people that are looking at language, communication, and all of those things. And, of course, it's freedom of speech. But then they also, you know, you got to look at, okay, you know how certain policies like this, it affects some decision makers like a President Trump one way. But then what about us? Some of us just pop off at the mouth about a whole bunch of stuff on Facebook and Instagram and on social media, right? Because we think it's, quote, unquote, our media. That's the false narrative that social media is the people's media. And it's not. It really isn't. It is a company's product that has been devised and branded as ours. I know folks gonna get mad at me. I'm on Facebook right now. But we can't deny the truth. It's a company's product that they sell this product. They sell this platform. If this was a government entity, it would be a different conversation. But this is a company. This is a company that has an initial public offering, an IPO. They're on the stock market. They have stockholders. They have you can make gains off of this. If you buy into Facebook, you can expand your portfolio. That's the type of it's a company. It's a private company that you buy into. And our greatest buy-in is the belief that it's ours. And we put so much trust into these social media companies and these social media spaces, right? Because unlike the United States government, the United States government, even though we know that it's not perfect at all, but it's built upon the premise and the idea of being the people's institution, right? Facebook doesn't have to say that. It chooses to say that it's for the people, but these social media platforms are business products. And so they don't have to, quote unquote, appeal to the people. They have no real allegiance, duty to the people. Their only thing is to get you engaged with their product. That's their number one allegiance. They may not say that. They may not emphasize that. They certainly may not brand that, to use that message for their branding and their commercializing purposes. But at the end of the day, they hire people, they hire scientists, they hire developers, they hire all these people for one reason, for you to use their product. Just like Ajax wants you to use their bleach. Clorox wants you to use their bleach, Dove wants you to use their soap. Facebook wants you to engage in their social media. Let's go back to the line. Let me go to Michael. Michael, thank you so much for checking in and riding with me. What's your take?
Thank you. I'm a first-time caller.
Fantastic, Michael. Great to hear from you.
Thank you for having me on your line.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for joining.
And what you just said, it comes down to economics.
Yeah.
It comes down to economics. And we look at the amendments, the Second Amendment. Okay, we look at the Second Amendment. But I can't go into a movie theater and yell fire.
No.
I can't go into a movie theater and run fire. The government has taken quite a bit, leave on certain things. And like you said before, our forefathers had no idea about Facebook, Twitter, or anything else that comes up. They didn't have this in mind.
No.
So when we look at that, we look at economics, that this is a company. They make money off of Facebook. Now, I'm not a Facebook user, so I'm a senior, and I don't have one. My friends say, well, why don't you get a Facebook page? Now, I'm not really interested in that. But I'll just keep and talk to my relatives over the phone or in person.
I'll just do it the old school way and call you.
And keep it that way. But it comes down to the amendments. Our forefathers never looked at this. And like I say, they cut off certain people from doing this. But, Trump has a sneaky way of doing things to me, and he's just gonna put and spew out as much as he can. And I hope these people on this board, I hope they kind of look at this, but it still comes down to economics. It comes down to the cheese. It comes down to the money.
It comes down to, where's that cheese, Michael?
Yes.
Where is my cheese? But here's the thing. What about that slippery slope? Because, part of me says, no, they couldn't possibly let him in, but this is America. So, unfortunately, I'm a little jaded in that respect because, we live in this country where they do. Like, economics becomes the medicine and the driving force for all of the ills of this country, and that's instead of people. So suppose they let this man back on, some people put him up to akin to Satan. I don't even give him that much credit. But suppose they let this man back on.
We're all in a world of trouble. I like to talk about.
You know what I'm saying? But like for us, for folks that use the platform And for those of us who really believe in the quote unquote the product, enough to say no, he's going to be. I mean, at the end of the day, you're right. It's about money. But if they bring him back on, then Facebook would. I mean, they could get a hit, but. Okay, say if 1 million people leave them, they got 3.4 billion monthly users.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I mean, like, you get so, you can be so big that you don't even know.
with that billion. But like you say, you stay out of Florida, and, you know, I just visited Florida not too
right.
long ago.
Brother.
And you know, they came up, the governor passed a bill in reference to
Black Lives Matter.
Well, not only Black Lives Matter, but also about the passport CDC thing they want to have with vaccinations.
Right.
They want to leave that out. So
yeah, he's like he opened everything back up, and he said he want to focus on voting restrictions.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God.
Yes, indeed.
This guy, he is a piece of work. Michael, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you.
I appreciate you, man. I hope to have more conversations with you.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Let's go to Miss G. Miss G, thank you so much for checking in.
Good evening, everyone. And not to hold any of you, just a very quick, simple statement. As I always say, I believe that if the corporations and especially the politics would be more mindful, do their jobs, what they were voted to do, just go to the table, update, create, amend, change these bills and these laws that are on the books. I know, you know, you guys just mentioned about, you know, when the forefathers, you know, wrote the Constitution. Well, we need to be changing things as we go along.
Right.
We got, you know, a lot going on with the Internet and, you know, with social media and different electronic, you know, the media and medias and things of that sort. So people are changing. The dynamics of the world that we live in have changed drastically. These people are being voted in to make things better for, you know, their constituents and we, the citizens. And so do your job. Do your job, these executives of these corporations. These CEOs are paid millions and millions and on top of millions. They are put there to implement and to, you know, to do things, you know, to make things supposedly better for people. So here, everybody should be eating, not just them, but we all should be benefiting. And that's all I have to say about it.
And Ms. G, really quickly, and I agree with you 100%. Do you think that they should let the president, the former president, back on?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And I just really didn't want to, you know, go in that direction.
I know.
But what is it? It's a cliche that they use. I can't remember it offhand. But he's already shown his colors. And, you know, and as they say, you know, a leopard can't change its spots.
Right.
And what I don't like is what we saw with the election, just how divided this country is. And, you know, we saw on January the 6th where, you know, unfortunately, people, you know, Caucasians, if you will, you know, we see where their mindset is. And so stop it. Stop it right now. You know that this man does not mean well. And here again, the politicians, instead of shinning and grinning, okay, and rubbing each other's backs and rubbing palms and all like that. Do your job.
There it is. There it is. Ms. G, I appreciate you. I think there's a new saying now, not just a leopard one, but there's the new saying from Maya Angelou, when somebody show you who they are, believe them. Or if somebody tell you who they are, believe them. Yeah. Yeah. My man Kim Chase checked in on my Facebook page. And if this is a public traded company, what position do shareholders take? They shouldn't let Trump. They shouldn't let mind Trump good sense. Yeah, if this is a public traded company, you know, that's a good question. That's a good question. That's a very good question. How are they going to handle that? And I guess that's what the that's also been part of the decision. Folks, the decision is going to be made on Wednesday. They say approximately 9 o'clock a.m. So you should probably be hearing about it. But we just want to at least have the discussion, the beginning discussion, because if it goes either way, it could really impact us. It could really impact us as general Facebook users. But then also it can set a precedent for other social media platforms like Twitter, especially. And so it could really impact us in a lot of ways. And, you know, of course, we got to look at it from the vantage point of freedom of speech. But there needs to be some formal policy about the use of Facebook. Now we're in this place. We know the power of it. We know the data issues with it. We know that it can be used to organize and to galvanize for good or for bad. The point is now we need to learn how to control it. And that's going to be the big question, I think, that's going to be on a lot of people's mind. How do you regulate a situation like this? It's not laid out into the Constitution. It's not in the Declaration of Independence. There's nothing on the books about it. But this may be the tipping point for us to start to control and put something on the books around electronics and social media, and more importantly, protecting freedom of speech in all areas. All right, folks, that is going to be it for me. But I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much for everybody for joining me online and certainly on air. Stay tuned. Up next is Lola Within the Groove. Want to thank my team, my man Dre Day, and my producer Demi Goff. Stay tuned. Up next is Lola. Got some great music for you. Tomorrow we'll have another great show for you. So just keep staying tuned in. Stay tuned into everything that we're doing. Make sure you check us out at WEAA.org, where you can get all the latest news and information. Also, download WEAA on your smartphone, your tablet, and any other electronic device. And stay in tune with WEAA 365 days a year. And you can do that just by going to WEAA.org. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong, stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. I look forward to chatting with you tomorrow, God willing, for another exciting edition of For the Culture, right here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. And remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.